Good morning. Good to see you here today on this wonderful morning after my footy team and Mavis's footy team made the preliminary final. Oh, so you better pray for us that we don't lose sight of what should be first. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning in your precious and wonderful name of your Son, Jesus. And we just ask, Lord, that you would guide us as we look at your word today and that you would reveal the truth as you are leading us by your Spirit into all truth. And we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity and the freedom that we have to gather together in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you ever read the Bible and or read the words of Jesus and say, did he really say that? Did he really mean that? Because when I read this passage, you would think, why would I bother doing anything that he says if I'm going to be persecuted? If people are going to turn against me and ridicule me? Why not just take the easy road? Wouldn't be that the best thing to do? How do you think? Do you look at the word and sometimes think, oh, that's too hard for me, let's move on to another chapter? I wonder how the disciples felt, because in chapter 10 here we see Jesus, he calls the disciples to send them out. And he says to them that they're going to do all these wonderful things. They're going to heal the sick, see miracles happen and drive out evil spirits. And we looked at that a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? But then he says, as we've just heard, that people will turn against you. People will persecute you. And I've heard it said that someone says if you're not experiencing persecution, you're not making a stand for the Lord. Wow. That's pretty heavy words. Because I can say myself, I don't experience persecution every day of the week. Maybe it's because Australians are loving people and they all love Jesus and, you know, we just have so much in common with everyone out there that there's no problem at all. We can talk about the Lord to our heart's content. But it's not really so, is it? When we look at this passage today, Jesus is telling the disciples what will happen. And if we believe that we inherit, if you like, the same blessing that the Lord gave to the disciples, that we can go out in his name, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, praying for people to be healed and seeing them healed, praying for people to be delivered and seeing them delivered, praying for miracles and seeing the miraculous, then I guess it must go with this as well, that we can expect that we may be persecuted, that we may be finding ourselves put in jail, even killed. But not so in Australia as yet. Notice I say as yet, for who knows what may happen. But if we look throughout the world and we see so many of our brothers and sisters persecuted for making a stand for Christ. And just on a bit of a side note, later on this year we're having a guest speaker from Open Doors who reaches out to the persecuted church, and they'll be coming to share with us more about that. It is both a challenge to do what the Lord asks of us, in particular if we really take note of what his word says, that there'll be hardship and persecution that we'll encounter on the way. It might make us have second thoughts. It might make us think, well, putting a few toys in a Samaritan's purse box is the ideal thing for me, because that's not confronting. Who likes being confronted anyway? I remember, before I became a Christian, my sister was a Christian, and one day in the lounge room, she's trying to tell me about Jesus. Now, I won't repeat how I reacted, but pretty much I was persecuting my own sister with words. Now, we might think of persecution as someone being physically maimed or attacked, but realistically, any attack on a person, be it verbal or physical, can be deemed as persecution. Now, today, let's turn to John 15. Because there's a bit of a verse here that I think is really important to us. Because if we are to come across issues in the future, as we step out in faith, as we go to share the word of Jesus, share the good news, then we need not be afraid. Yes, persecution may come, but if we stand firm, we know that Jesus will stand with us. And in John 15, verse 26 and 27, Jesus has been talking to the disciples, which we'll go back to that later on, but in these particular verses here, he says to the disciples, "When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you must also testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." You see, it's not a choice. You can't have the blessing of the Holy Spirit and not do what Jesus is saying. I believe God wants us to show God his love, to reveal what he has done in whatever way we can. And that might be serving. It might be helping one another, helping people in the community, or it could be as bold as some people are, such as our Brian Cross here, who will walk down the street and just do a, what we call a walk-up, where you say, "I'd like to talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, I would hear that some people would say, "Oh, we don't do that these days." And that's probably true in our society, that it's not done as much as what it was 50 or 60 years ago. But I know in other places around our nation that there are people that will do walk-ups. My daughter was one of them, Priscilla. In going to uni, she went to Canberra to do a course, a Bible study type thing. I can't remember what it was exactly. But she was challenged to go out from that day and to walk up to people and talk to them about Jesus. And she said she was trembling in her boots, but she just went and did it. Now, what happens as we get older, because when we're young and enthusiastic for the Lord, we don't so much want to do the walk-ups anymore. We'd rather find an easier way. And there are plenty of ways that we can share our faith, and that's the good thing. If Jesus says, "You must testify," and he says that to the disciples, and if we believe, as I said before, if we are called as his disciples and we can go out in the power of his name, the authority of his name, to see miracles happen in his name, to see people healed in his name, to see people delivered from evil in his name, then it goes without saying that we must also testify as to what he has done, not just for each one of us, but for the whole of creation. For it's God's intention for us to go to all nations. And so some of us are sitting here thinking, yes, Bev's going to wherever the Samaritan's purse are going to send her. She's going to all nations. Well, let's not forget this nation of Australia. It starts in our own backyard, taking the good news of Jesus. And you'll hear that I've been talking about this, going out and discipling nations a couple of weeks now. And it's going to continue for another couple of weeks. So don't get bored, get excited. Why do we need to get excited? Why would you want to get excited about the possibility of being persecuted? Well, I think we should get excited because of what God is actually doing in the house. What God is doing through this fellowship, and I just want to talk about that for a moment, because on this side of the wall, we have an op shop. Beyond the op shop is the food share. Now, there's probably a few new people here that don't know much about what we actually do through the op shop and the food share, but they have been established as ministry to outreach to a community that is hurting, to people in need. And it's a fantastic opportunity for us to be involved in testifying, in showing God's love to people out there. Now, I don't know how many people are really aware of the enormity of what we do. But each month, coming into the foyer out there at the front, are over 250 families. Each month, 250 families. They get helped with food that God has provided to us to distribute. It doesn't cost us a cent. Maybe a few dollars of transport, etc., to get it delivered. But ultimately, he has given us a responsibility to help the poor. Now, what did Jesus say to do? Help the poor. So, we're fulfilling something. Isn't that good? But in helping the poor, is that all we should do? Do people see God's love through that help? I would suggest, yes, they do. That's another positive, isn't it? But how would it be if we could also share with them about how deep that love goes? That love is so deep that God, who is enabling us to do that, sent his one and only Son to die on the cross for them. And in so doing, they might turn around and say, "Leave me alone, you God botherer." Or they might say, "I'm out of here." Or they might say, "Can you tell me more?" And that's what happens when you present the gospel, when you testify. People will reject it. And the more rejections you get, the closer you're going to get to an acceptance. And the more rejections you get, the more seed you have actually sown. The more rejections you get, the more water is poured onto that seed. So what we do in having an op shop and a food share is enable a lost community to come that they might receive a blessing from God and have a seed sown into their lives and a watering happening at the same time. But you know, it goes beyond what we've already done with the food share. And in a month or so, I'm hoping that we can establish a time of celebration. Who likes a party? celebration because of what God has done, and celebration because of what has been done is drawing to a conclusion, meaning that, well, this coming week, for example, the commercial kitchen that we have already had in existence is getting refurbished. So the cabinet maker is coming to do the measure and quote. So I'm assuming that in 6 to 8 weeks' time, that will be completed. Once that's completed, it means that we can have people come and learn how to prepare meals. It's another opportunity to draw people in and see God at work in their lives. So there's three areas being developed. Now with those, the cooking that would go on, there would be, of course, meals prepared. What do you do with the meals? You freeze them. And here is another connection. You have a neighbour who's in need. You don't have time yourself to do anything. You could just contact somebody down at the church office and say, is there a meal for a four-people family frozen that they could just have delivered and put in their oven or microwave and it's all ready for them? Isn't that wonderful that this fellowship has ministries in place that are being developed and built to enable us to reach the lost community of Albury? Wow, I've got one amen and one mm. Yes. Well, maybe I'm not sounding excited enough. I'm sorry. Maybe I should try and be more of a excitable person, but I'm afraid I'm who I am. But I'm doing my best. And we're doing great things in this place. And that's what I wanted to say to you today. And it's all part of being able to testify about the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we grow and continue to develop, you know, you look around yourselves today and you think, well, there's not many of us here. Well, there's probably about 15 to 20 people away. When you look at the group that we have here and what God is doing through us, all it's going to do is add to our number, those who are being saved. And it's really important that we get enthusiastic about it. And when I talk about having a party, a celebration, what I'm thinking about, it's all in the process here at the moment, is on a Saturday, let's have an open day. Let's show the people, this is our chapel, this is our op shop, this is our food share. And out the front here, hopefully by Christmas time, we'll have the kitchen of the teapot demolished in readiness for creating a whole new area, which will become what I've shared once before or twice before, is a cafe that can actually operate as a cafe church as well. So that means having church on another night or another day or something like that in a totally different environment and atmosphere where food would be available, etc., etc. And I know people from within here have already expressed their excitement about that. But that's coming soon to be released. But right at the moment, if you dare to have a walk out the back, see Bev today, if you like, you'll see that it's just a completely changed area. If you hadn't seen it before, and Bev will know what it was like, it was pretty much a mess, and it's been turned into something that we can be really excited about and proud, maybe not proud, but just happy as seeing what God has done. And as we continue to trust in him and seek his good and perfect will for the River Community Church and what he wants us to do as a fellowship in the community, more things will unfold. And I believe that we are going to have a huge impact, not just because we're here, but because of what he will call us to do around and about Lavington, Springdale Heights, Glenroy, Norris Park, West Albury, East Albury. It's not just about here, getting people here. It's also about eventually getting us out there. And as we get out there, we'll be doing just as Jesus wanted us to do, testify about him. So that passage that we just read from John 15 spoke of the Holy Spirit speaking through us. And that's what it also said in Matthew chapter 10, that the Spirit of the Father would give you the words to say. Let's look at John 16, verse 13 and to 15. It affirms just what I've been saying. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take it from what is mine and make it known to you. So there's no need to be afraid of making a stand for Christ, because he will be there with you. Now, you can be guaranteed that if you do step out, you may come into some adverse situations. And I'm sure that Brian has probably experienced some of those along the way. And I'm sure that some of you have also had experiences in your life where you've come into some situations that you've been thinking, why do I open my big mouth? But spare a thought for those who have lost their lives as they dare to testify about the good news of Jesus. Jesus knows you will be persecuted. And he said in the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5 of Matthew, verse 10 to 12. If you want to write it down or turn quickly to it, you can. He said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you." See, insult, that's verbal. "Persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Now turn back to John chapter 15. Flipping around a bit here today, but I just want to let the word of God do some work in your hearts today. Reading from verse 18 of John 15. "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have both hated me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason." And just reflecting on what that says, if they hated Jesus, they will hate you as well. Anyone who does the Father's will out there in the world will be hated by the world. So what are we to do? Well, we need to stand firm. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. And just start reading from verse 8. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. So no matter where we are, whether it's the enemy bringing an attack against us, a spiritual attack, or whether it's just somebody out there in the community persecuting us or maligning us verbally, we need to stand firm. We need not to focus on our sufferings. We need to remember that there's people who are brothers in Christ all over the world doing the same as us, making a stand for Jesus, testifying about Jesus, and in so doing, suffering for Jesus. So as we may suffer, so then others may come to know him, and others are doing that around the world today. And we can think of them in prayer, as I'm sure they would think of us as well. Just like to close with one more passage from 2 Timothy chapter 4. And it's the Apostle Paul talking about the persecution that he's been undergoing. And he talks or refers to Alexander, the metal worker, who did him a great deal of harm in verse 14. But then in verse 17 and 18, I just want to read and close with this thought. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Paul knew that even though suffering great persecution, that the Lord stood by his side and gave him strength. And the Lord stands by each of our sides and gives us strength as we stand for him. It's not like what Pat said in the communion, that sometimes you won't find him. Because if you're making a stand for Jesus, he'll be there with you, no doubt. So the Apostle Paul knew what it was like to suffer, but he also knew what it was like to be strengthened. He knew what it was like to be rescued. Each one of us here today who are believers have been rescued. Each one of us here today who make a stand for Jesus will be strengthened as he stands beside us. So may I encourage you that you may not be able to be like Brian Cross and go down the street and do walk-ups, but you may be able to use the knowledge of the ministry that we are actually doing to reach out to others. That if someone you are talking to, you are finding that they are in hardship, you could say to them, we've got a food share open Monday to Friday, 12 o'clock to 2:30. How about you come down with me to the church, meet some people there, and we'll give you some food to help you out. Somebody who's lacking clothing. Somebody who doesn't even have a brass razoo to buy some clothing, we will provide that clothing for free. These are the things that you can use in your day-to-day walk, in your lives, to reach out to other people. And in so doing, become someone who is